The jury deliberated almost 8 hours Thursday afternoon, September 12th, wrestling, no doubt, with social as well as legal issues. And no doubt the memory of issues reflected in this following montage of voices filtered through their considerations of the previous 8 months.
Minnesota has now witnessed South Dakota justice for Indian people. This is what's going on every day in courts in South Dakota that are filling the prisons with Indian people. But it stops here.
The world has, for a long time, has in other parts of the world, violence to gain ends has not been unknown. In your South American countries, in several of your European countries, it was almost an annual event. In this country, we were very lucky. For years, we got along without that type of thing. We had a few political assassinations, but basically they were from deranged people. That seems to have started to change in the 1960s. There seems to have been a more of an acceptance by ordinary people to violence. And I don't know what causes it, but it frightens me. I don't accept that, and I don't think most people do. I can understand it. I can even sympathize with it. But I can't accept it. In that sense, Wounded Knee is probably another sliver off that development in American history. Most of American Indians would not engage in crimes or in violence in order to improve their conditions, any more than most poor people will rob a bank in order to get money.
And the fact that the very first witness, the treaty went into evidence, that's the only reason why we were in Wounded Knee. That's the reason why of the continuing human rights fight in South Dakota as for our treaty rights. And we want the jury to say, yes, Mr. Indian, you do have treaty rights. You're innocent of all charges.
Well, I suppose it could be considered as an historic trial in that we can't divorce ourselves from the fact that the two particular defendants that are on trial are members of the American Indian Movement, and to some extent the American Indian Movement is definitely trying not only to help their peoples, but they're making an effort to try to right. Congress, for example, has changed some of the treaties that were entered into between the Indians and the federal government. They're trying to get some of those rights that were maybe in the treaties that were taken away by Congress restored. And the only problem is that this isn't a lawsuit to bring back those rights. Now, whether those, I have not made the decision as to whether or not those treaty rights apply to what would normally be called crimes committed on the Indian reservation.
I think this year cake symbolizes the contempt that we have for the government in bringing about these illegal charges against us. I think the real birthday that the people better worry about is the one in 1976. They will be on trial then. I think between now and then that they ought to prepare for that one.
While I was seated on the sixth floor of this building, a marshal named Gerald Perman came up and smashed me in my left eye with all of his might with his right fist, causing my glasses to fly about 20 feet across the room. 7 or 8 marshals witnessed that, as did Bill Kunstler. At first he refused to give me his name, and then he said, "I'm going to work you over, you son of a bitch. You can't go through life like that, you son of a bitch. I'm going to work you over so that no one will recognize you." That was witnessed by a group of marshals who then said they didn't see anything. And I think that would give all of us an indication of how we can rely upon the testimony of marshals and other federal agents who've testified in this courtroom.
I think that the judge has shown a great amount of patience throughout the course of this trial, and I think today his patience ran out, and this was the result of it. I regret very much that it occurred, but I think that it is quite understandable, particularly in view of the judge's statements yesterday and then his statements yesterday late to the spectators in the courtroom. I think that should have been a tip-off that he was nearing the end of his patience.
There were pure motives for going into Wounded Knee. The American Indian Movement was asked by the Oglala Sioux people to come and save them from the fascism which had been imposed upon them by the federal government, and a war broke out after they got inside there. And Louis Move's camp is in essence telling atrocity stories in terms of what happened during the war. And if the jury believes those atrocity stories, I think they still have to ask who declared the war,
who started the war and why AIM responded to the cries of the people, and perhaps understand, even if they believed him, and I don't think anyone will, but if they did believe him, I think it is possible to believe him and then conclude it was a just war on behalf of the struggle of the Indian people, and even in just war, sometimes atrocities are committed.
It's a tragedy, because this young man is literally throwing away his companionship, his loyalties, his friendships with so many people, and he is, in essence, fingering so many people for future indictments. That is very similar to David Greenglass, I guess, in the Rosenberg case, who went into court and sold his sister and brother-in-law, as well as their children, really, to the wolves. That's a tragic thing to watch, whether you're in court or out.
That isn't him sitting on a stand. That isn't Louis Moosecamp himself sitting on that stand. You can tell the looks of him and the sneers he's got on his face. That isn't like Louis Moosecamp. They promised Pedro a bed of roses to lay in all his life. He's laying in it, all right. He's 6 foot under the ground. I think they're keeping him from me. I just tell him, quit his damn lying. That's what I'll tell him. He's lying about everything. Every statement that they got him, that he signed, is a lie. He's putting himself in pen for the rest of his life. He's lying. Everything he said is a lie.
Assume that Mr. Moosecamp is guilty of something in Wisconsin. I don't think that that really affects his believability in terms of this. We're in a modern age. Sex activities are not an uncommon thing. It is my understanding, and I have seen no evidence yet that there was any rape, that there was any force involved or any consent involved. It's my understanding that it probably was a consensual act between consenting adults. In any event, I don't think that should affect his believability.
As it turned out, there was no jury verdict Thursday evening. The panel retired about 10 p.m., scheduled to resume deliberations the next morning. That was to be Friday the 13th.